Montreal. We have a full show for you today with One Rabble podcast and an interview. The interview is with Michael Mishkovsky about the Ballad of Pablo Honeybadger. He gives us an explicit live song, so listen in. The podcast is about the money hoarding ways of the Ontario government, who is refusing to spend on upgrading classrooms to COVID protocol standards. 8 a.m. will bring Democracy Now, and 8:15 will bring weather and the wrap-up. Let's start the day off with some music.
dear, you understand when was I'm clean. I regret being true with my point of view. Nothing can stop you now, you've trampled the way clean. All the nice guys finish last, beaten by the crude and the crowd. Self-indulgent fantasies, my private and daydreams. I would love to lose my cool, scare some sense into you. In no Christian man of faith could you see such mediocrity. But I've no cheeks left to turn, and this fire in my guts opens. No more wisdom, not a sky.
See this sun on the road, I'm
a project from Hamilton-born Polish-Canadian artist Michael A. Mieszkowski, styled as Michael A.M., explores elements of jazz fusion, country western, progressive rock, soul, and funk. His latest release is a stripped-down singles package entitled The Ballad of Pablo Honeybadger, featuring the A-side Drunk All Day and B-side What You Saw. In Drunk All Day, Michael A.M. takes the listener through a somewhat lighthearted tale of licking one's wounds after a relationship has ended. Today we have Michael A. Mieszkowski, or Michael A.M. Hi, Michael, and welcome to the show.
It's good to be here in my living room.
First, tell us how you came to be involved in Funny Boat.
I think it's more that Funny Boat became a thing after I noticed I had a bunch of songs. It wasn't so much that it wasn't a project I entered. It's something that I created without really knowing that I was making it.
Where's the name Funny Boat come from?
Well, I decided on that name for the project after I finished the first kind of studio recording at Boxo Studio in Hamilton. I was working on it after the last recording session with my sound engineer for that project, Ryan Cannon, and we had just finished all of the tracking, and we wanted some ambient water sound for one of the tracks, Blue Water. And we went down to the harbor in Hamilton, Pier 4 specifically, and we were just kind of walking along the shore, finding a spot where the water hits the shore just right, and we could get a good audio recording for that. And we walked by this like tugboat playground thing. So it's this old early 1900s iron tugboat that just got put on land at some point in like the 80s or 90s and turned into like a playground. And my family would meet there for like picnics and stuff, and my grandma would call it the Funny Boat. So I was telling him about that, and while we were recording these water sounds at like 3 a.m. And he was like, I think you just found your band name. And I didn't question it. I was like, yeah, all right. A little tribute to grandma, a little unique thing. I think it's a double-edged sword, you know, having something that's as weird. I know the spelling, it doesn't look like it says Funny Boat, F-U-N-Y-B-O-H-T, all one word, but there's nothing else like it. You know, if after you Google it and it asks, did you mean the South Park episode Funny Bot? And you say no, then my band is the only thing that comes up.
Who are your partners in Funny Boat and what do they play?
So it's kind of funny, which I guess is another reason why the name works, because I went to post-secondary for music, and I've been, you know, playing on the scene and doing sessions as a bassist for really since I was like 15 years old. And so I know a lot of people, and a lot of my favorite musicians, you know, they have a lot of pots cooking at once. I forget the actual words for that idiom, but you know, a lot of the people that I work with, I wouldn't ask to tie down to a single thing. So the amount of collaborators on this project is ever growing, and people join, and I don't think they ever really leave. Some noteworthy ones, Keegan Early has probably played on the most Funny Boat tracks as the drummer. He's an excellent jazz, funk, rock and roll drummer. He plays in other bands like Alabama Clam Hash is one of my favorites of his that he plays in. That's kind of like his own project, but he's also in like the Loretta Hale Big Band and has done a lot of session work himself. One of my mentors, trumpet player Mike Malone, played a trumpet solo on the Mountains B-side, which is on Spotify and all the streaming stuff. The song is called NDS. And Mike Malone, jazz trumpeter extraordinaire, former member of Lighthouse and Dave McMurdo Big Band, plays on that legendary session in my books. So he came down there and he was in the studio for maybe 7 minutes. He took more time taking off his coat and setting up his trumpet than he did recording the actual solo, and just knocked it out of the park on the first try. Scott Marsh from Gentlemen Spectres has played live for Funny Boat as bassist, drummer, and lead guitarist at different shows. Jazz guitarist Daryl Buckle. My buddies from a band I play in called Zero Fire. I play bass in a band called Zero Fire. They'll all jump in on some stuff. Graham has played on the same bill as Funny Boat in his little acoustic thing that he does. And I hope I'm not... Oh, Nick Hurst from Woolly Mantis. Woolly Mantis is a young progressive rock band that's really blowing up right now. And Nick Hurst is a keyboard player, singer, songwriter for them. And he added keyboards to all of the post-apocalyptic love songs. That's the Funny Boat EP that came out this April. And also jazz singer Carolyn Credico was on the track Wings. And Brendan Whelan and Mike Cotton were there in the early days, both badass musicians as well. I hope I didn't forget anyone.
What do your mothers think of your band?
Funny Boat is my mom's favorite band, and the other moms come see their kids play in the band sometimes, back when playing live was the thing. At least they would.
May we hear some of your music?
Of course.
This is Funny Boat with Drunk All Day from the Ballad of Pablo Honey Badger.
Two.
Wake up in the morning to a buzzing next to my head, and I turn off the distraction machine. I fumble to the kitchen and the mice have eaten all my bread. Start to pick up the crumbs that she left. They say out of sight means out of mind, but I know she'll still be there. Thank you.
was the process you went through producing the Ballad of Pablo Honeybadger?
The production process was extremely simple. My buddy Marconi has a studio in Hamilton called the Halo Music Studio, and they have an amazing room, awesome vibe, and really pro equipment and microphones. So it was fresh off the EP, and I just felt like I had these tunes that were really kind of slaying live. People would come up to me and mention that those two songs, What You Saw and Drunk All Day, were really resonating with them for whatever reason. So, I had arrangements in mind. There's a demo that I did of What You Saw where I played instead of like a finger style thing, I played the electric guitar with a violin bow and a lot of reverb and stuff, and had a much different texture to it. But the way people were responding to it live was the finger style version. And Drunk All Day was a track that's, you know, in C, and I toured with that one a bit. And I would, whenever I saw someone in the audience with a harmonica, someone in the audience or another player on the bill, and they had a C harmonica, which 90% of the time someone does, I would just ask if they wanted to sit in, and it was just awesome every time. So I figured I would just do something as similar to how I had already been doing it and how people were responding to it positively. So I just went into Halo Music Studio and just tracked the two tunes live off the floor, asked my friend Leo Dragto, who I forgot, in the another great songwriter, but on Drunk All Day plays harmonica, and he had probably played that song with me the most on harmonica out of all the random strangers I've asked to do it, and he's a good friend of mine, so I was very happy that he said yes and contributed some blues harp to that tune.
Who are your major influences musically?
I'd be hard pressed to pin one down, and it would be even stranger, I think, because a lot of the stuff I find myself listening to the most sounds nothing like what I do. I think my favorite band is the Japanese math rock outfit Trico. And I'm really big into Frank Zappa. I listen to a lot of old hip hop, like Nas and the Beastie Boys. But I do listen to every kind of music, and I don't mean that in the way that people say everything but country or what. Like, there's pop music, country music, classical music, everything. I have a favorite artist in every genre, I think. And obviously that all is influencing me in the background somehow. So, but I'd say the stuff that Funny Boat ends up being the most like is a lot of people have said Tom Waits. I get Radiohead sometimes. I think I've been really big into the Canadian band Mother Mother. And I think some of the stuff like Wings, for instance, with the dual lead vocals, pretty Mother Mother-ish, not as sassy. And even some of the stuff that doesn't sound like what I sound like the Beastie Boys stuff, I feel like some of that attitude ends up in some of the tunes, even if it's like a country song I'm singing. Something from that weird stuff that sounds nothing like it ends up in it still.
What do you plan to do to celebrate this release?
I'm going to talk to you. I'm going to drink coffee and play some acoustic guitar.
That is fantastic. Do you happen to have your acoustic guitar with you right now?
I do have my acoustic guitar with me.
Would you like to play us a song?
Sure, why not?
It's called Heaven off of Post-Apocalyptic Love Songs, Volume 1. Around me and hold me tight, just a little bit harder now with all your might. I suggest that you never let me go, because I might as well die. Die, da, da, die. Die, da, da, die. Right here in your arms tonight, baby. Da 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 da. Da 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 da. Right here. I wanna be enveloped in your soft skin. I wanna drown in your ocean. Waves, hello, as you're drawing me in. And I know that I would be lucky to die. Die, da, da, die. Die, da, da, die. Right here in your arms tonight, baby. Die, da, da, die. Die, da, 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 die. There's all this commotion, there's all this fear in the world around us, but not right here. I said, as you take me to heaven, and I know that I would be lucky to die. Die, da, da, die. Die, da, da, die. Right here in your arms tonight, baby. Die, da, da, die. Die, da, da, die. Right.
Was great. What love.
Thank you.
May we hear some more of your music?
Yeah. Are you going to play another one, or do you want me to play another one?
I'm going
to
play another one.
Then let's do it.
This is what you saw on CKUT.
Need someone to tell me that it's not my fault. I already know, but I still get this burning feeling like I'm holding on to a coal and I can't let it go. No, I can't, no, I can't, no, I can't let it go. Need someone to tell me that it's not my fault. I already know, but I still get this heavy feeling like I'm carrying a stone and I wanna let it roll. But I just keep imagining that weight off my shoulders. looking from the outside at a life that you could have lived. No more being angry at the people you love for not being all they could have been. I have nothing to prove. The time has come to let this go. It's not my fault, I know. So I'm not gonna tell you that it's not your fault. Why you did what you did is between you and God, so fuck off. Just pretend like you never saw what you thought you saw.
Listeners find your music if they want to buy your project.
I'm a poor businessman. I don't I'm not good at the business part, so I just give it away. You can search FUNYBOHT on YouTube or SoundCloud, or if you have a subscription to a streaming service, you can find it there. iTunes, Spotify. And just go nuts. Tell your friends if you really want to get me some money. So I feel encouraged to do more of this. You can go to funnyboats.com and just donate some dollars or pennies for one of the tracks that you can get free if you want on there. So you can download the stuff on funnyboat.com, and yeah, if you feel so inclined to follow my socials, I post just Funny Boat news on the Funny Boat Facebook and Instagram pages, and I'm extremely inactive, so I won't pop up in your feed unless I have like new music to share with you, or if you're very active on the socials, michael.a.m is my personal Instagram handle. And there I post maybe weekly guitar videos or improvisations or maybe visual art. So, if you're a diehard, you can follow that and do all those extra things. But if you just liked that song and want to add it to a playlist, just a Funny Boat on Spotify.
Thank you for your interview today.
Thank you so much.
You've been listening to Michael A.M. speaking about his band Funny Boat and their music. I am your host, Sheila Ferrando.
Early in the morning, before the sun rose, when the first bird sang, even while everyone was still asleep.
Morning. On that morning.
When the sun comes out
this morning, baby,
cock-a-doodle-doo, I hear the rooster crowing.
Now you must wake up.
Now every morning when I wake up,
I woke up this morning with
the kiss of the morning.
Got up 7:30 every morning. The same breakfast.
Réveillez-moi à 8 heures demain matin.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Riding a bike made of bacon and eggs.
In the morning.
In the morning.
Why should the sun replace the moonlight?
Has this ever happened to any of you, or will it happen to any of you, on the morning after the night before?
You are listening to
The Morning After on CKUT 90.3 on the FM dial.
This is a Rabble Podcast Network show. New voices in your head. It's radio. Free radio.
This is Solidarity News on Radio Labour.
This is a Radio Labour Canada report recorded on Friday, November 27th, 2020. I'm Marc Boulanger. In the report this week, the Ontario government is refusing to spend money to keep students and teachers safe. Violence in the transportation sector where women are told to man up. The Labour Start report about union events and singing.
A woman's place is in her union. We organize and stand for equal rights.
This is Radio Labour. As COVID-19 rates increase in Ontario schools, students and teachers are being denied adequate ventilation systems, made to learn or teach in online systems without training, and more. This is despite the government having billions of dollars available to make the educational experience safer and more effective. To find out about the situation in Ontario's schools, I talked to Liz Stewart. Ms. Stewart is the president of the Ontario English Catholic Teachers Association. The OECTA represents more than 45,000 education workers across the province. I asked Ms. Stewart about the funding her union says is available now to help students and teachers.
The monies are not numbers that we have made up. The Financial Accountability Office, in their economic and budget outlook document, actually identified $9.3 billion in unallocated program spending. Now, there has been some monies that have been expended since then, but there's about $9 billion that have not yet been expended that the government has that they could be using right now to help deal with situations that are occurring certainly within our schools. And what we have been advocating for right from the very beginning, and from the beginning I mean since March basically, because we wanted to have input and have a solid plan, was that the government invest properly at the beginning, or invest properly even now, to make sure that we can have a good, solid, safe environment within our schools that is sustainable. Because we understand that it is important not only for our students, and quite frankly for my members and all education workers, to feel safe and secure and have that stability of the schools available to them, but it's also important on an economic level that schools are able to function in a sustainable way, because that enables people to go to work and have confidence in the system and have confidence in the fact that their children are safe in that space. And right now, because of the lack of planning and the lack of investment from this government, quite frankly, many parents don't have that confidence and are pulling children out from school to do the online learning. We know it would be so much better if we could keep students within the schools.
So you want to keep the schools open. How can this be done safely for both the students and the teachers?
I think it's the same thing that we've been saying since day one. And it's the same thing, quite frankly, that the vast majority of the medical community are saying, that we need to address the issues of ventilation and filtration, and make sure that that is at least adequate, if not more than adequate, within our school buildings. We need to make sure that there's masking in place. We still have boards in this province where masking for primary students is not mandatory, and the government has not said it needs to be mandatory. Minister Lecce has not come out and said masking in schools from kindergarten to grade 12. He's left it optional in the primary grades from kindergarten to grade 3, and that is problematic. So we're saying at the very least we should have masking in place. We need to make sure that there's adequate distancing, that we can actually put that at least minimum 1 meter distance between students in classrooms. In the vast majority of our elementary schools, that's just not happening, and it's not possible. We have classes of up to 30 students, and in some instances, we were having kindergarten classes with 29 students in them, and in some of the boards, they don't have to wear masks. How that's putting any of these pieces in place is just beyond me.
During the week of November 25th, the unions around the world organized many events commemorating the UN's International Day for the Elimination of Violence Against Women. One of the sectors severely affected by workplace violence against women is transportation, where women work as bus drivers, flight attendants, truck drivers, seafarers, and other occupations. I talked to Jody Evans about violence against women in the transportation sector. Ms. Evans is the Women Transport Workers and Gender Equality Officer for the International Transport Workers Federation. The ITF represents 20 million workers in nearly 700 unions. I asked her about violence against women in the transport sector.
Mark, gender-based violence is endemic in the stubbornly male-dominated transport industry. Sectors like transport have been constructed and continue to structure work with men in mind, so women often feel unwelcome. Women are increasingly part of the workforce and claiming their space, but they are reminded time and time again that it's a man's world and they don't belong. They are told to man up or leave the job, and they are made to believe that violence is inevitable. Women often tell us how proud they are to be transport workers and keeping, including keeping the world moving during this pandemic. I've spoken to many women who are proud to be one of the first women employed in particular jobs traditionally seen as men's work. But women also tell us that working in this industry can be tough. A 2017 survey by the European Transport Workers Federation, the ETF, found that 26% of the 1,444 women transport workers they surveyed believe that harassment is considered to be part of the job. One aircraft marshaller from Brazil shared with me the words of her colleague when she complained about having to use the men's toilet. He said, "Love, for you to stay here, you're going to have to learn to pee standing up. This is a man's place."
What are some of the solutions the ITF has been working on to decrease violence against women in the workplace?
Well, since the problem is in the root or the foundation, the solutions or the change also have to be at that very root or foundation level. So we're working on solutions globally, but also with our affiliated trade unions for action locally. We're developing our global policy and strategy to challenge the gender-segregated nature of the transport industry, an industry still very wedded to the idea of boys' and girls' jobs, which leads to a set of expectations and behaviours for workers, and that limits women's opportunities and needs to be challenged. Making the issues visible is a really crucial step towards solving the problem, and gender impact assessment and industry policy and decision-making is vital. Very recently, we supported women leaders from our affiliated trade unions in India to undertake the largest known national study on domestic violence and the workplace with over 15,500 participants. This study was possible because of the development and the implementation of the ITF Women's Advocacy Program, where women workplace activists are trained to recognise, respond and refer to support colleagues who are survivors of violence and harassment, whether that originates in the home or the workplace. This is true global sisterhood in action. We modelled our Women's Advocate Program on the successful program implemented by our affiliated trade union, Unifor, in Canada, and it's now being implemented by transport unions in a number of countries in South Asia and Latin America.
Here with his report about union events is Labour Start correspondent Derek Blackadder.
Some of the big stories in our Canadian news pages this week are a study that concludes that universal affordable daycare is essential for a pandemic recovery, and another which examined the terrible toll the pandemic is taking on healthcare workers across the country. On the COVID-19 beat, our volunteers continue to collect a large number of stories. This week, a disturbing trend is emerging. Complaints from workers and their unions about shortages of personal protective equipment are increasing in both number and in intensity. It's starting to look as though we may see shortages so acute they will rival the experience of healthcare workers back in the spring, when we thought things were at their worst. The lack of PPE appears to be worst in for-profit long-term care facilities, especially in Alberta, Manitoba, and in Ontario. No surprise there. But in some public facilities in British Columbia, a shortage of PPE is being blamed for COVID-19 outbreaks in both care homes and in hospitals. What makes things especially worrisome for Manitoba healthcare workers and for patients is that the personal protective equipment shortage is appearing just as the province is ordering home care workers. Those are the workers who travel when caring for patients in their own homes, to work in long-term care homes as the second wave threatens to overwhelm those facilities. Canadian Labour History items on our site for this week included the certification of a McDonald's restaurant in Montreal in 2000 and the introduction in 1921 of Canada's first maternity leave legislation by, of course, a Labour member of the BC legislature. Feel-good stories are still few and far between these days, so we'll stretch things just a bit and call this one a mostly good news story. It's about the start of hiring at General Motors Oshawa Assembly Plant in the wake of the ratification of a new collective agreement with Unifor. The news isn't all good, however, as to date it appears that GM is only hiring into what are termed second-tier positions, which is to say the same jobs, but earning about $14 an hour less. Canadian stories on our Working Women page this week included calls for more action against domestic violence, as women have experienced more assaults during periods of C-19-induced lockdowns, and the reaction of some of the women whose complaints led to last week's report on the RCMP's workplace culture. Their conclusion after reading the report? That the Mounties are not up to fixing the toxic environment that has developed, that only action by their union has a hope of success. Globally, the big stories we covered included a strike by more than 200 million Indian workers as they demanded fundamental changes to the Hindu nationalist government's policies. This is Derek Blackadder from Labour Start, reporting for Radio Labour.
Now here is Union Nation with A Woman's Place.
Hardships and discrimination, ongoing battles we continue to fight, dedicated to get the job done. A woman's place is in her union, fearless and productive, embracing and strong. I'm a union woman, and this is where I belong. When you need a helping hand, walk with me, brothers and sisters in this nation. Let the world know all about our situations. We'll overcome all the evils in the workplace and make this world better for the union race. Dedicated to get the job done. A woman's place is in her union. Fearless and productive, embracing yet strong. I'm a union woman, this is where I belong.
And that's it. Labour news you can use. You can find our international features and daily newscasts at radiolabour.net. follow us on Twitter at Radio Labor. I'm Marc Boulanger. Thank you for listening. And remember...
These folks at CKUT love their 100% certified organic and fair trade gourmet coffee from Saint-Tropez. Prepared in the heart of Montreal with beans from all over the world, you can find and get your own cup of freshly brewed Saint-Tropez coffee from AUS Snacks on McGill Campus or from Café Saint-Tropez on the corner of Saint-Urbain and Duluth.
I need a fresh cappuccino with a mocha twist. Fresh cappuccino with a mocha twist. Fresh cappuccino with a mocha twist. Hey, miss.
Looking to become bilingual or promote bilingualism in Canada? Look no further. Apply for the Odyssey or Explore program for the chance to improve your French or help young people improve their English. You'll immerse yourself in another region's language and culture, make new friends, and have experiences that will stay with you forever. Many people say the Odyssey and Explore programs have changed their lives. To find out more or to apply, visit EnglishFrench.ca. Programs funded by the Government of Canada.
To slow the spread of the virus, we need to press pause again. That's why once more, we need to stay home and avoid all non-essential travel. Gatherings are prohibited in red zones and are to be avoided in orange zones. And it's important to keep following the everyday health measures. Let's press pause again to curb the spread. Learn more at quebec.ca/coronavirus. Let's continue to protect ourselves properly. A message from the Gouvernement du Québec.
This is Democracy Now!
This is all easily, provably false. Yet the president persists.
It's runoff day in Georgia. Republican officials in the state denounced President Trump for pressuring Georgia's Secretary of State to, quote, find him enough votes to win the election. We'll get the latest and look at an overlooked voting scandal in Georgia, the purging of eligible voters.
How could they be so wrong with 198,000 people? They are being disenfranchised in the middle of a significant election. There's no evidence that those 198,000 people have moved. So we know what this is. This is another form of what we believe is voter suppression.
Then to the pandemic. Israel's considering a complete lockdown again, even though it's had the most successful COVID-19 vaccine rollout in the world.
Millions.
1 million people in the state of Israel. We are breaking all records. We are moving forward at great speed to vaccinate the entire population.
While 14% of Israelis have been vaccinated, vaccines may not be available in the occupied West Bank and Gaza for months, if not years. Is this a form of medical apartheid? We'll go to Ramallah to find out. All that and more coming up. Welcome to Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, the Quarantine Report. I'm Amy Goodman. 2,700 Americans were hospitalized with COVID-19 Monday, a single-day record, as the United States reported nearly 200,000 new coronavirus cases and more than 2,000 deaths. In Los Angeles, ambulance crews have been ordered to ration oxygen, with EMTs told not to transport patients who show little chance of survival. ICUs in many Southern California hospitals are effectively full, with COVID patients spilling into hallways. COVID-19 is now the leading cause of death in the United States, with one person dying of the disease every 33 seconds. Amidst the post-holiday surge, President Trump accused the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention of greatly exaggerating the U.S. death toll, which now stands at over 353,000. Top infectious disease expert Dr. Anthony Fauci fired back on ABC News.
The deaths are real deaths. I mean, all you need to do is to go out into the trenches, go to the hospitals, see what the healthcare workers are dealing with. They are under very stressed situations. In many areas of the country, the hospital beds are stretched. People are running out of beds, running out of trained personnel who are exhausted right now. That's real. That's not fake.
California reported more cases of a new coronavirus variant that many public health experts believe is even more contagious. It was also detected in New York for the first time, adding to fears it's already spread far and wide across the U.S. Meanwhile, New York Governor Andrew Cuomo said Monday he would fine hospitals that fail to quickly administer their allotted doses of COVID-19 vaccine. The federal government has distributed more than 15 million doses, but so far only about 4.5 million people have received a shot. This comes as the Food and Drug Administration recommended Monday against a proposal to cut doses of COVID-19 vaccines in half for younger people in order to stretch the U.S. vaccine supply. FDA officials also rejected mixing and matching vaccines, something officials in the U.K. are planning. British Prime Minister Boris Johnson ordered a nationwide lockdown Monday as the UK saw a record 59,000 daily coronavirus infections. It's the third such order since the start of the pandemic. The lockdown requires most people to remain at home except to go on urgent business until mid-February, with schools and non-essential businesses closed. British officials are blaming the UK's record surge on a new coronavirus variant they say is more transmissible, perhaps up to 70%. But some public health experts say ineffective public health measures are at least partly to blame. Back in the United States, polls have opened across Georgia for the two runoff races that will determine control of the U.S. Senate. Over 3 million Georgia residents have already cast their ballots in a record turnout for runoff elections. On Monday, President Trump rallied thousands of unmasked supporters in a packed campaign event for Republicans Kelly Loeffler and David Perdue.